And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Attention, people of Earth. Do not resist us. All who oppose us shall be annihilated. We command the most powerful army of monsters in the universe. They are sure to defeat your Earth monsters. All those who are hearing this are now under the control of the Earth Destruction Directive.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Earth Destruction Directive. I am your host, as always, Mr. Luke Giaconetti. I'd like to thank everyone for downloading and listening to our episode today. Hope everyone enjoyed our previous episode where we wrapped up the original Ultraman with episodes 38 and 39 of that series. Today, we're going to be changing tact a little bit. We're going to be jumping over to the printed page. We're going to be taking a look at a comic. A very specific comic, and I know I said we're going to be covering two comics. We're only covering one comic this time, and I swear I've got an explanation that will show just how confused I can be sometimes. So we're going to be taking a look at the Kaijus and Cowboys one-shot comic from 2023. That's what's on deck for today. But before we get to that, let's get into the news. So first, our box office update. Godzilla X Kong: The New Empire continues to have some monstrous legs in the theaters. In its fifth full week of release, the film has added another $4.5 million, bringing its domestic total up to $188 million, enough to keep it in second place for the domestic gross for the franchise, still lagging behind Godzilla 2014 by about $12 million. The international take also grew, with the total now rolling up to $547 million, only trailing Kong Skull Island by about $21 million. Now, revisiting my back-of-the-envelope figures from last episode, I had said that I predicted GXK would finish between $190 and $203 million domestically, and that range looks to be well in hand. It's only about $2 million away from getting into that range. Now, exactly how high the film will finish is harder to predict as we move here into May and the more traditional summer tentpole season. There's been a fair amount of pessimism about the summer box office this year, 2024 being the first year in quite a long time without a Marvel Studios film set for release, so it's possible that a lack of competition may keep GXK in theaters slightly longer than originally anticipated. The next big genre film on the schedule is Furiosa, which is the prequel to Mad Max Fury Road, slated for May 24th. And while Fury Road is beloved, the original was not a huge hit, grossing $154 million domestically against its $150 million budget, and did not have as big of an international appeal as the MonsterVerse films typically hold. Of course, this is not an indictment or judgment on Fury Road nor Furiosa, but just going by gross numbers. Honestly, looking over the release schedule, unless I am missing a film which will have tremendous four-quadrant appeal, the next 800-pound gorilla on the horizon, is that a Kong joke, is Disney Pixar's latest emotional weapon of mass destruction, aka Inside Out 2, which drops mid-June. For now, I'm just enjoying the ride and waiting patiently, or impatiently, for GXK to come to home media so I can enjoy it again in the comfort of my own home. In other Godzilla movie news, a new Godzilla Giant short has debuted in Japan, but in a very unique way. The short film Godzilla Attack on Tokyo features Godzilla battling against the Super X2 Kai Mecha, along with a surprise cameo appearance, which is cool in and of itself. But it's even cooler when you see that the film is actually being projected onto a building. The Tokyo Metropolitan Government Building in the Shinjuku District is hosting the largest projection mapping in the world, with a projection of more than 14,000 square meters. That's more than 150,000 square feet. It covers 28 floors of the building. I always say it's better to see giant monsters on as big a screen as you can, and I'm not sure you can get much bigger than this one. Directing this legitimately 100-meter-tall Godzilla is Kazuhiro Nakagawa, who was the assistant director on Shin Godzilla back in 2016. Also of note is that the suit used in the short is a vintage Heisei-era suit. The other neat aspect is that this building should be familiar to Godzilla fans. as it has a memorable scene in the final reel of Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah from back in 1991, where Emmy uses Mecha King Ghidorah to drop a tower from the building on Godzilla. The short runs about 6 minutes and can be found on YouTube. I personally found it linked on the film's Wikizilla page. And the film runs through the middle of May if you happen to be visiting Shinjuku. And finally, in comics news, IDW has a new Godzilla series beginning this June, Godzilla Skate or Die. The series is written and drawn by a creator named Louis Joyce, with whom I am not familiar. They have a smattering of credits, but nothing which I have read. Now that said, the premise from the solicitation for the first issue sounds like a hoot. 4 years ago, four best friends and diehard skaters found the perfect location for a DIY skate park. After months of hard work, they created the world's sickest spot that they could enjoy for the rest of their lives. That is, until the ferocious Varan appeared in the middle of central Australia and started making a beeline for their beloved park. Why is Varan on a rampage? Why did Godzilla just appear off the coast? What does their beloved skate spot have to do with this? And most importantly, what are these punks willing to do to save it? Skate Punks versus Daikaiju? Plus a rare appearance from Varan? Sounds like this series is certainly striving to be offbeat. As I said, the series starts in June. Should be 5 issues, as most IDW's miniseries are 5 issues when it comes to stuff for Godzilla. So, definitely going to be checking that one out. So that's all the news I've got. If you've got any news that you think would be of interest here on Earth Destruction Directive, go ahead and send it to me, earthdestructiondirective@yahoo.com, and I'll be sure to give you a shout out here on the show. All right, I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be covering the Kaijus and Cowboys one-shot comic right here on Earth Destruction Directive.
My name is Grundy, born on a Monday. The following recording was taken from an NSA wiretap of a Back to the Vince taping. No names have been changed. Everyone is guilty.
Do I need mine, or am I good where I'm at?
Well, now you do. If I have mine, you have yours.
You might want to yours only if you do have it set to automatically, because you don't want it to automatically, because the thing never works right. Because what'll happen is it'll be used to you at a particular and then if you go out of that, it scrambles to a and it doesn't fast enough. So it's better to just set it up.
Oh, okay.
It really doesn't work well.
So I checked. All right. I checked my my King. It definitely built me for the hotel for all three of us.
Join Back to the Bins every week for goodness.
Solomon Grundy hate voiceovers.
All right, we are back here on Earth Destruction Directive. So on the last episode, I had said that I was going to be covering issues 1 and 2 of the crowd-funded comic book series Kaijus and Cowboys. And that was the plan right up until I was researching the dates of the campaigns which have already run for the series. This is where I discovered that I was operating under a false assumption, which has required me to pivot here for this episode. The first campaign, which I will discuss further in a moment, was for the debut of the property, the first installment in the series. When the second Kickstarter came about, it was titled Kaijus and Cowboys 1 and 2, and reading the rewards, one of the tiers was for the choice of issue 1 or 2 with the description, "Here you can pick up a digital PDF copy of the first issue for anyone who missed the last campaign, or continue following the adventures of Doc and the Hunter with issue number 2. I had assumed, falsely it turns out, that issue number 1 being referred to here was the same issue as the first campaign. So I actually do not have a copy of issue number 1, because I only backed for issue number 2, thinking I already had issue number 1. I have reached out to the creator, Matthew Blair, about my mix-up and why I'm changing directions here on this episode. That said, I still want to cover the property in the run-in on the current Kickstarter campaign, so I'm going to be covering the comic which was available from that first campaign, which is simply titled Kaijus and Cowboys, and I will be referring to as the Kaijus and Cowboys one-shot. Now, in the interest of fairness, issue number 2 reads in such a way that I was able to go right into it from the one-shot without any trouble, which may have also contributed to my confusion. Then again, those who know me also know that confusing me is not exactly a challenge. Now then. The Kaijus and Cowboys one-shot was crowdfunded via Kickstarter in May 2023. The campaign raised nearly twice its targeted amount and offered both digital and physical editions along with some other physical rewards. The writer and creator of the series is Matthew Blair. Blair got a start in the comics industry with the webcomic The Secret Lives of Villains. In addition to his comics work, he's also a staff writer at MultiversityComics.com. This was Blair's first Kickstarter campaign, but as you can guess from what I've already said, there were more to follow. Our artist is Frankie B. Washington, an alumnus from the Butera School of Art, with 30 years freelance experience in the art industry as a commercial illustrator. Washington has also done many different indie comics projects, including a 2013 OGN entitled Robot God Akamatsu, an homage to both kaiju and super robots anime and toys. And now this book has been added to my list on Amazon, so I will definitely be checking that one out. Our cover shows a robotic cowboy, whom we will come to know as the Bot with No Name, riding a reptilian mount while fending off an ape-like kaiju as well as smaller saurian beasts, while a trio of humanoid robots run for their lives. The cover is bright and colorful, with the steed charging right at us. The action is dynamic, and the content certainly suggests this is going to be one heck of a ride. And before we get to the story, we do get a text piece in the comic which sets up the backstory. And it goes like this. In the early 1980s, a Japanese businessman named Ichiro Tezuka funded the Future Robots and Toys Company. Its string of wildly successful action figure lines, along with television and movie licenses, made the company rich enough to branch into other businesses and develop a thriving computer and robotics sector, including a highly advanced AI program. Over a century later, Earth would be invaded and overrun by a parasitic alien creature known only as the World Root. While humanity fought bravely, they were fighting a losing battle. In a last-ditch effort to save the species, an international group of scientists and engineers came together on the Japanese island of Hokkaido to build an Ark ship capable of carrying a large number of humans to a distant planet and a better home. They were led by an artificial intelligence modeled on the mind of Ichiro Tezuka. The ship's launch was a success, and the last remnants of humanity were placed in cryosleep and sent to the stars in order to find a new Earth. After years of traveling through space, the ship finally found a planet suitable for human life. Unfortunately, the planet's surface was covered in a thick jungle and home to monstrous creatures capable of leveling settlements and obliterating all in their path. Fortunately, the Tezuka AI had planned for such a scenario and had developed an army of robots who would descend to the planet's surface and build the necessary infrastructure for humanity to thrive in their new home. It has been several years since the ship came into the planet's orbit, and while progress has been slow, it has produced results. Worker robots labor to make the planet livable for humanity, while hunter robots fight to protect this new world and hunt any monsters who wished humanity harm. This is a story about one of those robots. He is known only as the Bot with No Name, a tracker and killer without equal, and humanity's greatest mechanical champion. He is the First Hunter. Very neat stuff. And with the backstory established, the story of our comic goes a little something like this. The Bot with No Name and his steed roll into a ravaged town, right through the ruined palisade wall. The Bot exits his wagon and reconnoiters the town on foot, and comes across the head of a fallen robot citizen. Activating the memory recall of the fallen citizen, the Bot sees their memories, a massive hairy kaiju tearing into town, bringing a herd of smaller creatures with it. The last image of the memory bank is one of the herd crashing into them. No sooner does the Bot disengage the memory recall than is he surrounded by the herd. Loading a mind-control nanite payload on his sidearm, the Bot leaps over the herd and fires, striking each member with the ricocheting nanite round. The herd closes in on the Bot, but fall to the ground, and when they rouse, the mind-control nanites are active. And not a moment too soon, as the kaiju himself shows up. The towering creature has a face like a baboon, but with a long jaw and a blue horn on his nose, with gray natural armor all over his body. As the kaiju roars in defiance, the Bot sends his newly acquired herd to attack. The smaller monsters are able to strike blows on the big kaiju, but ultimately, they're ineffective. The Bot's combat computer suggests a different tactic, and he activates a bioweapon payload and leaps towards the kaiju's head. Using a telescoping arm, he grapples on the kaiju's horn. Undeterred, the kaiju whirls the bot around, trying to shake his enemy loose. The bot's telescoping arm begins to snap, and soon he is sent flying to the ground. As he falls, though, the bot fires his round, striking the kaiju in the shoulder. The big kaiju collapses to the ground, while the heavily damaged bot's head is medevaced back into his wagon by a flying drone. A new body is created for the bot in the wagon, and, rebuilt and rebooted, he and his trusty steed head out once more. The first thing which struck me about this issue is that there is no actual dialogue. We do get a handful of status reports from the bot's onboard computers, but with only one true sentient character in the piece, I guess there's not much to converse about. Well, as comics fans, our first inclination for a mostly silent issue is to immediately jump to Larry Hama's legendary G.I. Joe number 21, The Silent Interlude from 1984, and I suspect that was part of the inspiration here. But the more I thought about it, the more I started leaning in a more cinematic direction, along the lines of a spaghetti western. Despite the science fiction trappings here, the basic frame of the story is straight up western. The lone gunman riding into a town that's been laid low, where he confronts and eliminates the big bad terrorizing the townfolk, and then rides off to the next town. Now, in one sense, the use of the text page is a modern comics touch which I am not always a fan of. In fact, I recently corresponded with my podcasting colleague and friend, Professor Allen, about this during his coverage of the Marvel comic Sword number 1 over on the Quarterbin podcast. Normally, I'm not a fan of using text pieces in comics to convey information which could be part of the sequential comic storytelling. In this situation, however, literally launching an entire setting and concept with one 20-page comic, I'm all right with it, especially given the amount of information covered in that text piece. It sets the stage and then steps back to let the action speak for itself. And stripped of dialogue, that action has to carry the day. And here the issue does a very good job of hitting the ground running. We do get the brief establishing moments of the bot with no name arriving in town, but as soon as the bot jacks into the citizen's memory core, it's non-stop action for 15 straight pages. The artwork really shines from a storytelling position. Without being able to use the dialogue to paper over the cracks, the art has to be able to inform the reader of everything which they need to know. Washington has a strong grasp of the geometry of the players and the setting, as well as the anatomy of the characters. The flow of the action does not bog down or become muddled. This becomes especially noticeable once the kaiju makes the scene, and the size differential between him and the bot becomes a major plot factor. A few key moments of the issue stood out to me. The memory recall sequence on page 4, where we see everything from the point of view of the citizen, including the kaiju smashing onto the scene. The first-person look almost gives it a sort of found footage vibe, which I liked. Over on page 11, as the bot sends the mind control hurt at the kaiju rears up and smashes his fist down, with a wonderfully impactful BOOM shattering the ground. The sound effect completely integrated into the artwork. And then on page 13, it's a full-page splash, showing the kaiju crushing one herd member in his left hand while slamming his right fist into the ground with a rugged ka-toom. I'm a real big fan of sound effects being unified as part of the art, and Washington shines on that front in this issue. Overall, I enjoyed this comic quite a bit. The fusion of monsters and westerns along with robots really speaks to me and my interests. It's a wholly unique concept, despite riffing on tropes from all of the genres on which it touches. Additionally, I'm a big fan of done-in-one comics, and having your debut issue be a done-in-one one-shot is a great choice, not leaving the audience on a cliffhanger. Now, it's not the deepest comic you will read, but it assuredly will pique your interest and leave you eager to see more. And luckily, we have some more to see. Following on from the original campaign, as I said, Blair launched 3 additional campaigns for the Kaijus and Cowboys series. The second campaign, as I mentioned, covered issues 1 and 2. That was where I got mixed up. And the third campaign was for issue 3. The latest campaign covering issue number 4 is live right now as I am recording this episode. I'm going to put a timestamp on this, which you're not supposed to do on podcasts, but I'm going to do that. The Kickstarter runs through Wednesday, May 15th, 2024. So if you are listening to this episode before that date and this premise sounds interesting, please head over to the Kickstarter campaign and check it out. You can search for Kaijus and Cowboys on Kickstarter. Additionally, I will put a direct link to the campaign. I already put it up on YouTube on the preview post. I will also put it up on the show notes and on social media when I post this episode. Now, just so in the interest of full disclosure, I have no affiliation or association with Mr. Blair or Washington. I just happen to have found that first campaign. I think it was recommended on, you know, sometimes when you go to Kickstarter, it says things you might like based on what you've backed. I want to say that's where I found it. I just happened, as I said, to come across it, and I really enjoyed this one shot, and I've enjoyed the series, and wanted to give it a boost since it worked out that they had the campaign running right when I had an episode scheduled to come out. So now I am going to throw it to you, the listeners. Have any of you read Kaijus and Cowboys, either this one shot or one of the later issues? Do you like the idea of mixing Westerns and monsters and science fiction and robots? Do you like, you know, comics that are like mashups like that, or you'd prefer your stuff to be, you know, stay in your own lane sort of situation? Email me, earthdestructiondirective@yahoo.com, and we can talk about it here on the show. All right, that's what I've got about Kaijus and Cowboys, the one shot, and I hope everybody enjoyed that. I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back here on Earth Destruction Directive.
You like cheap comic books, right? Well, I'm Professor Allen, and I talk about cheap comic books on the Quarterbin Podcast. In every episode, I'll dissect a single comic from my collection, as long as I paid no more than 25 cents for the issue. Forget about $4 new comics that you can read in 4 minutes, or crossover events that can cost $100 to collect. Join me in the Quarter Bin, where even bad comics are a bargain, and good ones are a steal. The Quarter Bin Podcast is part of the Relatively Geeky Podcast Network. Visit us at relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com, or search Relatively Geeky or Quarter Bin Podcast on iTunes. I guarantee it'll be worth every penny.
All right, we are back here on Earth Destruction Directive, and it's time for a little bit of listener feedback. If you would like to get in touch with the show, you can email me at earthdestructiondirective@yahoo.com. You can also reach me on Facebook, Twitter/X, YouTube. Just listen to the outro to the show, and it'll give you all the information you need to get in touch if you would like to. So our email comes from Billy D, a.k.a. Doc Strange. Billy D from the My Magazines and Monsters podcast. And Billy writes episode 128 feedback. Hey Luke, congrats on finishing Ultraman. That was some dedication to make sure you have it its due. Loved hearing that the newest Godzilla film did well at the box office. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that Monarch show, unless you did talk about it, and I missed it. Anyways, keep up the good shows, and I'll keep listening. Cheers, Billy D. Well, Billy, first off, thank you very much for emailing in. Very much happy to hear from you. Always fun to talk with Billy D. A lot of times we will talk either about horror monster movies over on his podcast or on the Brave and the Bob Haney comic book podcast. We talk about Batman teaming up with Sergeant Rock, which is amazing if you haven't read any of those. But to go back over, thank you. I was glad to finish Ultraman up at 39 episodes. When I started, I knew it was going to be a big investment, more so than any of the comic series or anything that I planned to cover. The amazing thing is that that's one of the shorter Ultraman series. Most of them are longer than that. So whatever's coming next on that front, there's a good chance it's going to be even more episodes. So hopefully I'm in for the long haul once again. Regarding Godzilla X Kong, the New Empire, as you heard at the top of the episode, still doing well, to the point that other films that are coming out this summer are not doing as well. As I'm recording this, we're kind of trying to do I don't want to say a post-mortem, but perhaps a debrief is the right word, as to why the new film version of The Fall Guy has not underperformed, let's say, at the box office versus what it was forecasted to do. And personally, I haven't seen The Fall Guy, so I don't know, but I just didn't get the amount of advertising that I did for Godzilla X Kong. And I think maybe being in March was the right fit for the monster movie, you know, the MonsterVerse. They hit well with Godzilla versus Kong in March, and I think March is just a good time frame for it. You know, it's not competing against those summer movies, so maybe the summer movies will do better. I'm not really sure. I think it's very strange that the two biggest movies so far of the year, at least I believe the two biggest movies so far this year, are Dune Part 2, and Godzilla X Kong, both of which are from Legendary Studios, both of which are genre movies. So, and genre films that are not like superheroes that are super, super popular. Like epic sci-fi is kind of hit or miss, and monsters are hit and miss, right? So I, for one, I'm also super glad, like I said at the top of the show, just enjoying the ride, and we'll see where it goes. As for Monarch, I definitely want to cover Monarch. I need to gain access to Apple TV. That's on me. I just haven't done it. Maybe over the summer, things will be a little quieter. Pardon my editorial laugh, ha-ha. But maybe you'll get some time to sit down with that, gain access to that service and watch it. Because I've heard only good things about it. And obviously with the new series coming at some point, probably need to get caught up. I agree. It looks neat. And I love Kurt Russell. I always liked Kurt Russell, you know, going back to like even Escape from New York, The Thing, even movies like Overboard, right? Kurt Russell's always good. Actually, what's funny is I like Kurt Russell as a kid before I ever saw any of those, because I saw him in Now You See Him, Now You Don't, which is actually the sequel to The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes that I saw first. I saw the second one before I saw the first one because it was the 80s and that's what you did, right? I actually have all those on DVD. Disney released the three of them in a set, but not related to Godzilla in any way. But stay tuned for my soon-to-be-forthcoming Kurt Russell podcast, which will never happen. Anyway, thank you very much for writing in, Billy. Very much appreciate hearing from you. Hope you keep listening and keep enjoying, and thanks a lot. So social media, likes, shares, reposts, all that good stuff for the last episode came from my brother, Mr. Jason Giaconetti, Professor Allen from the Relatively Geeky Podcast Network, Derek WC from the Fan Holes Podcast, Chuck Rodriguez, Gene, the podcasting machine Hendrix, the aforementioned Billy D from Magazines and Monsters, Robert Ludwig, the most sane man among us, Brian Severe, CJ Reed, and a happy belated birthday, CJ, Matthew Mastro Giovanni, Kirk Spencer, a.k.a. Big Five Army, Bro Rad, and of course, the Two True Freaks Podcast Network. Thank you, everyone, for all of that social media support. I say it every time, and as soon as it stops being true, I will stop saying it. But podcasting is a labor of love, and anything you can do to help spread the word for a podcast that you enjoy is very much appreciated, and Earth Destruction Directive is not an exception. I'd also like to take this opportunity to say that if you are interested in giant monsters, maybe you got into monsters from a crowdfunded comic, and you just stumbled upon a crowdfunded comic one day on Kickstarter or BackerKit, and you were intrigued by it, and now you find yourself looking, searching desperately for more giant monster content, as we all should be doing, and you stumble upon our little show here, you are welcome to be a part of this show, too, as much as you would feel comfortable. You can send email, you can join us on our Discord server, you can post comments on YouTube, you can just listen and lurk in the background, that's perfectly fine. All are welcome at Earth Destruction Directive. All right, so now, as always, we're forever looking forward. And what are we going to be covering next? So we're going back to a film, but it's a kind of a short film, very experimental little film that I, for one, was super, super pleased actually got a release here in the United States. And we're going to be taking a look at Howl from Beyond the Fog. A very intriguing little film that I am very much looking forward to covering. I really enjoyed this when I got to watch it a few months back, and I'm eager to delve in and do some research on this one and get some background and talk about it here. So that film is available from SRS Cinema. I believe you can get it on DVD or Blu-ray. So if you're interested, you can go check it out. Probably find some information on SRS. They're usually pretty good about having trailers and that kind of stuff on their site. So go check that out. Also, I would like to say that, folks, if you enjoyed this episode and you enjoyed the coverage of that Kaijus and Cowboys one-shot, please go check out the Kickstarter campaign for issue number 4. There are tiers where you can get caught up with all the physical issues or all the digital issues, and there's a lot of other neat stuff available, so please go check that out if you enjoyed this. Again, I have no affiliation or association with any of the creators involved with that comic. I just really liked it, and so I want to get it out there for more people to enjoy it. So if you enjoyed my coverage of this episode, please at least go take a look. I put some of the preview pages from the one shot up on the YouTube. I'll try and put them up on social media also. So just check it out, and I would appreciate it. And if nothing else, you know, just spread the word for more Giant Monster comics in various forms. And you know, crowdfunding is a heck of a way for that to happen. All right, folks, that is all I've got. I hope you enjoyed this episode talking about Kaijus and Cowboys, and I hope you come back next time for Howl from Beyond the Fog. And until then, keep 'em stomping. This has been Earth Destruction Directive, a Daikaiju podcast, produced and created by me, Luke Giaconetti, as part of the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Network, available at twotruefreaks.com. This is a fan work celebrating the history and culture of Japanese giant monsters. All movies, TV shows, comic books, characters, and other intellectual property is copyright their respective copyright holders, and no infringement is intended or implied. If you would like to send an email to the show, you can email me at earthdestructiondirective@yahoo.com. I try to respond to all emails, and if you send in some comments, I will read them on the show. All episodes of Earth Destruction Directive can be found at twotruefreaks.com. You can also find the show on your favorite podcatcher. Just search for Earth Destruction Directive. You can even leave a review on your podcatcher of choice if you'd like. You can find me on Facebook. Just search for first name Luke, last name EDD. You can also get in touch with me on Twitter. Just search for the handle at LJacone. That's LJACONE. The theme song for this podcast is Future Gladiator by Kevin MacLeod. Downloaded from incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 4.0 license. Thanks for listening, and be sure to come back next time for more city-stomping fun here on Earth Destruction Directive. Tune in next time to hear the crusty old podcaster from Oklahoma say,
"There's a WTF moment if I ever saw one."